right, we have someone really special with us today. We're going to have Pastor Brian with us. He's a longtime friend of Pastor Dennis's from Fuller Seminary. And he's been doing ministry for the past few decades, especially with the next generation. And we're just so thankful for him and his wife, Audrey. They've been helping out, serving at a lot of retreats and conferences. And we're just so thankful to have Pastor Brian with us today. So can you join me in welcoming him up here?
Hello? All right. How are you guys doing? Okay, let me get my Bible. What is this? This is awesome. Okay. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Acts. We're going to start from there. And I know Pastor Dennis is on a sabbatical, right? 3 months sabbatical, so he's been texting me back and forth, and it's been kind of nice. And it's funny, but I think he got sick on the same day that I was getting sick. And I'm going to share a little bit about that, but I believe there's a very clear significance. As I was coming here, when he asked me, I was excited. Okay, I was very happy, and I was like, no way, this is a great opportunity to just to come and to bless you guys, to encourage you guys. At the same time, I didn't realize I was going to get sick. I got something where there was it probably was a stomach flu, okay? So things were just coming out everywhere. Let's just say that, okay? This is just coming out everywhere. But I felt at the same time, there was a lot of things that were on me. There was a lot of things that were on me. I was going through a depression, okay? I was going through some anxiousness. I was going through some, there's things in the future. I had school, I had work, all these things coming up. So there's this, like I said, this anxiousness about, and I was like, man, I was like, I didn't want to be around people and all these things. And I had to begin to, I was in my bed, and John, my friend right here, who I can call a friend now, he's awesome, because he was like, are you okay? Anything I can do? And things like, he was like watching my kids, taking care of my kids while I was just, doing all this stuff. And I felt there was a cleansing, like I said, there was a cleansing taking place. And I just heard Dennis went through the same thing. But throughout this week, I had to rely on God every single day, okay? I still get a little dizzy, okay? If I fall, don't worry about it. Just pick me up. I'll keep going, okay? Just kind of know that. But the thing is, I felt there was a cleansing. And you got to understand, I was just asking God. I was like, Lord, please help me. I got to preach this Sunday. I got work this week. I got all these things going on. And I was like, Lord, just help me. I need you. And I'm realizing that, you know what? This is how I should live. And this is how you should live every single day. That every single day that we are relying upon God. Every day. And he was reminding me, But where there is repentance, so I'm repenting throughout this week at the same time going, Lord, can you heal me quickly, please? Because this doesn't feel so good. My body aches. I went to the urgent care. I went to the chiropractor. My back was offline because something was just offline. And I realized a lot of times God speaks through my body. You understand? God speaks through my body, and I felt like there was something in my life that was offline, and I need to get right with God, and I had to begin to repent. Okay? So I'm doing a little bit of confession here. I realized, you know what? There are certain things that when Jesus was, see, if we're passionate for God, we're also passionate for people. And if we're not, something is wrong there. Are you with me? See, if you say you're passionate about Jesus and everything, yes, Jesus. But if we can't love the person next to us or the person who thinks differently from us, something is wrong there. Are you with me? Okay? And so God had to, I had to go through, I was repenting, I was like, Lord, I was more judgmental, and all these things were coming out. I was like, okay, I need to repent. But know this, where there is repentance, it springs forth revival. Are you with me? I need an amen. Come on. Right? As I was coming here, I felt there was greater freedom that was going to take place. Greater freedom in the prayer room. Okay, we talked about there was, as we were praying in the room, there's greater freedom. And I saw, and I shared a few things in there. And I felt like, and I saw this lighthouse coming up. This lighthouse coming up. And I saw these boats in the ocean. This lighthouse was just going around, signaling. There was a storm. And then I saw a picture of Dennis. So Dennis, if you're hearing this, I saw a picture of you in this yellow raincoat. Okay, you're steering this big ship, and there are these other boats also coming in the same direction. And I saw you, okay, carrying this lamp, and I saw these other boats with captains. They're carrying a lamp, and they're taking turns keeping this lighthouse lighted. Okay. I shared a little bit about what I felt. I could be wrong, but I think it's pretty accurate. I think you're supposed to start a house of prayer here. Okay? You too. John knows he's also supposed to start a house of prayer. He's starting a house of prayer in L.A. He's going for it. Okay? The other thing I saw, what I saw was people on the ground, and they were just being held by certain things. And I felt like So you got to understand, where there is greater freedom, that means there's a greater release of God's glory in that place. There's a greater release of his power. Where we are more free, the more free we become, it's because there's a greater release of what he is doing in that place or in that city. Are you hearing me? Okay? And I feel like God is saying, hey, I want to release more in this place to bring greater freedom. And I saw you guys just those things you were stuck on, whatever it may be, those things, as God comes in the midst of you, those things are beginning to come up. As you declare, yes, Lord, you are a God of freedom. You bring, wherever your glory is, you bring freedom. Where the fear of man is broken off. Where you're no longer afraid of man, but you're free to be a vessel of his love. Okay, you guys hear me? So these are things that I'm seeing as I come, and I really believe that. And as we look into this passage, as you look forward to this new year, I believe it's going to be an exciting year for you guys. I'm always excited to come because I believe God is doing something amazing. You've already extended the walls right here. Wow, keep going. Amen? I want you to look with me. I believe God gave me a few things for you guys. In Acts 1, it says this. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. Okay, now get this. Jesus, in the operation of the Holy Spirit, as they were partnering and working together. That's awesome. He shows us how to live and to walk with the Holy Spirit. Okay? It says this. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Oh, awesome. Okay? On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 6. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Can you say amen? Okay. Can I see? Oh, that's cool. That's awesome. That's always awesome. All right. But you will receive power. Now, as you look in this passage, we see how the Trinity, how the Son and the Holy Spirit, as they are working in operation together. In verse 8, it talks about you will receive power. Now, you got to understand, a lot of times when you read this, you don't always get to see the plural. Let me kind of define this detail. But it says, but you will. It's not just talking about one person. It's talking about the whole group. He's talking about the church. Even in Acts, it's about you all will receive. And when you look into this word a little bit more deeply, you will receive, it says this. It means this. But you will receive, let me look here, okay? In Acts 1:8, it says, the word is lambano, to take up a thing to be carried, to associate with oneself as a companion or attendant. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, it means of the Holy Spirit descending and operating in one person. Okay? And you will be my witnesses. The word is martus. And if you understand that word a little bit more deeply, you got to understand at that time, that word is closely linked to what? That word is closely linked with martyr. So what Jesus was saying, what he was really saying, he was saying that, hey, I'm going to empower you with the Holy Spirit to the point, I'm losing my voice, huh? Oh my gosh, I'm going through puberty right now, okay? Okay? To the point, told you I was sick, all right? To the point that they were willing to what? They would be enabled to the point they'd be willing to die for his sake and for his name. That's what it meant to be a martyr. That's what was going on in this early church. Okay? Hey, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit that it's going to enable you to be bold enough that you're not going to be afraid of even death. That's what's taking place. See, the question that God gave me, the question that I also want to ask you is this: how can I influence others for eternity? How can I influence others for eternity? And the first point is this. Firstly is this. We need to learn to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit more and more each day. We need to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit more and more each day. Okay? Jesus modeled for us. In Luke 4, it says this. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. In Luke 4, 14 through 15, it says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Okay, now a couple things you see. Jesus is one, he was full of the Spirit, he was led by the Spirit, and he was in the power. He began to minister in the power of the Spirit. Do you guys see those things? He models for us how we were supposed to live. And see, one of the things, when we are filled with the Spirit, a lot of times what happens, there's several things that that takes place. There's several ways that the Holy Spirit sometimes manifests. One of those ways, and one of the things that as I've matured and grown, it's not the focus. The focus is always Jesus. You guys understand me? Even the Holy Spirit pointed to who? Even the Holy Spirit pointed to Jesus. There are times that the Holy Spirit, when it manifests, each and every one of us will manifest differently. Are you with me? Some of us, we will manifest through what? Our tears. Some of us, when we manifest, sometimes we are just happy. Okay? When I manifest, I'll fall to the ground in the presence and the glory of God. Okay? Sometimes me and my wife, it's crazy. We were at this revival. We were both moving like a wave at the same time. And the Spirit of God was reminding me that me and my wife were one. She's in the front. She's doing this funny wave. And you see me in the back doing this funny wave at the same time. That we're one at the same thing. Right? I know it's funny. You gotta trust me, right? But the Spirit of God can manifest. Hey, look, when you put your finger in a light socket, something's gonna happen to you. All right, something should happen to you. Don't do that. All right, but something will happen to you, and sometimes that's how the Spirit also manifests. Now, other ways, sometimes the Holy Spirit, what? The Holy Spirit manifests through gifts. That God gives us gifts. There are various gifts that are described in the Bible. There's gifts of teaching and prophecy, of discernment, and all these different things that God has given to you and to me. I have a friend who's very discerning that God opens his eyes to the spiritual realm. I knew a girl, once again, her eyes were open to the spiritual realm, right? And I would ask her, what do they look like? And she would say, they look like dark shadows. Some of the demonic realm or the spiritual realm, she would see these dark shadows on people, and she would just pray for them or brush them off, okay? One of my gifts is teaching and prophecy, to take these gifts and begin to speak into a group or to help explain something that may be a little bit complicated. Now, other thing you see how the Spirit will manifest in different ways through gifts, but gifts, just because you are gifted, does not mean you are spiritually mature. Okay? You guys with me? You could be the most gifted person, but not necessarily mature. I believe maturity comes through the fruit of the Spirit. That's another way the Spirit manifests. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, so on and so on, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Right? The fruit of the Spirit, and growing in that fruit of the Spirit. This is what I had to repent of. And because we see in our world, we see in our government, there were these, you know, there's some corruption in our government. There was some corruption in Hollywood. There was some corruption in all these different areas. But what is our first instinct towards these people? And I had to repent, Lord. I need to repent of judgment towards these persons instead of saying, Lord, I need to pray for these people in these high positions. Are you guys with me? See, it's very easy for us to criticize and judge instead of show grace and mercy towards them. Are you with me, guys? Right? See, the more surrendered we are to God, remember, we're carriers of his glory. We're carriers of his glory. And the more surrendered we are to him and his voice, watch God manifest. You want the Spirit of God to overflow from your life. We're to the point, see, when you are intimate with God, when you are walking in intimacy with God, that as you are learning to walk and carry his glory, right, that wherever you go, remember, where there is a greater release of his power and glory, there is a greater freedom that you carry, and you're no longer afraid of man and what they think about you. Okay? You guys with me? You're no longer worried about what people will think. All you want to be is a vessel of love. Okay? Their response is secondary to our obedience to God to carry out his work. Okay? You with me? Here we go. Secondly is this. Let's go here. Two, stepping out in faith, a life of influence is stepping out in faith and stepping into what God's doing. A lot of us hear that, yes, we need to step out of our comfort zones. It's not just stepping out, but it's stepping into what God is already doing. Okay? See, God is doing something here. That's why my spirit was already excited. I was excited to come because God is doing amazing stuff here. I believe that. Okay? Some of you guys need to be a part of that. See what God's doing. I had the opportunity to take out a bunch of my students. I teach at a private Christian school. That's why, you know, for me, I always had to either teach and then do ministry and also study. I was stressed out about school. I finally finished one paper for one class. I had to write 35 pages for one class. And I have to do that six more times or five more times. And then I have to do my thesis. So my stress level is up there. Okay, but I took these kids from one of my classrooms. I asked them, hey, do any of you want to go out to the mall, meet me at the mall, and go sharing or ask the Lord to move? And I can't make them because it's still a Christian school. But I said, hey, I'll give you extra credit, okay? So I gave them extra credit. I said, hey, come out, let's meet. We met about 11 o'clock. There's four guys that came out, and so we said, let's ask God because God is working. God is always working around you. You understand that? God is always wanting to love on someone. God is always wanting to bring someone into the fold or restore their hearts or do something to speak life into that person, okay? So God's always working. And so I asked the guys, hey, let's pray. Let's ask God, is there someone that we can minister to? Is there someone that we can talk to? Is there someone that we can bless today? Is there someone we could pray for? And so we listened to the Lord, and some of the kids got these few things. One of the things they got, I got an L.A. Dodgers cap. One of the kids got Jordan shoes, you know, those Jordan shoes with wings on it. He got that picture, okay? Another kid got bed sheets and all those. So they began to see these bed sheets. They got these colors, yellow, red, and all these different things. And so as we got those things, we wrote everything down. We wrote everything down, and then we asked the Lord to lead us. We asked the Holy Spirit to lead us. Who do you want to bless today? As we went out around this mall, they were scared. And you got to understand, these kids have not done this before. I've done it before with John. Okay, we've done it before with our old youth group. And every time we get blessed, I'm not kidding, every single time we do this, we get blessed. We get encouraged. And we went around the mall, we went around the campus, and first off, we were at this, the Lord told us to go here, go left, go up. I'm just listening to the Lord. We go up left. We go up to JCPenney's, and what do you know? There's these bed sheets and whatever. Check one. Kids like, whoa. Okay, we didn't know where we're going. They don't go shopping a lot. Okay, I don't go shopping a lot. Trust me, I do not go shopping a lot. When my wife asks me to go, I say no. Okay, really, right? And so we went to JCPenney. We went up here, and then we saw these bed sheets. Like, wow, this is awesome. And so then nothing really happened. We felt like we were supposed to talk to this one guy, but we're all scared. I'm even scared, okay? You got to understand, I'm shy. Okay, I really am. I could be alone for 15 hours, I'm happy. For the whole week, I'm happy if I'm by myself, all right? I have to really get out of that, my comfort zone. So, but when we went up there, nothing happened. We were supposed to talk to this guy. We didn't get a chance. We got scared. We came down. and I was supposed to be the leader here. And I'm like, what the heck? Okay, I got to be more bold here, all right? And I'm being honest. I got to be more bold. So, and then we're just waiting. We're asking God to lead us. And then all of a sudden, we're on the second floor. We're looking over the balcony. That same guy that we were supposed to talk to walks by. We got excited, and then he disappeared. I was like, what the heck, all right? And then all of a sudden, this guy walks by. He taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, how you doing? Guess what he had on? L.A. Dodgers cap. So I was like, yes! God gave us an easy one just to start. He gave us an easy one to start us off. This guy that tapped me on the shoulder, I had his son in high school. And he was just telling me, hey, you know, my son's doing great. He's studying engineering at Cal Poly Pomona right here. And it's exciting. I was like, hey, you know, this is awesome. Hey, can we pray for you? kids were like, oh my gosh, look, LA Dodgers cap, right? And so we prayed for him. He's like, yeah, go ahead. He was a Christian too, so yeah, go ahead. And so we prayed for him. We blessed him. We encouraged him. We moved on. And then God led us somewhere else. We went to the shoe store. And one of the kids, like, they saw me being bold, and they're like, yeah, I want to do it, okay? So they go up, and they felt like, hey, they have this sweater on, this color sweater that they pictured. We tried to talk to him, but no go. They didn't do anything. So then eventually we went outside. There was a CPK. There was this quad right here. And the Lord told us to just wait. Holy Spirit said, just wait here. We waited right there for about 5-10 minutes. And then I saw another guy coming up. He was someone I played basketball with. And he came over with his sons. And all of a sudden, one of the kids looks down at his shoes. Okay, he looks down at his shoes. And it, guess what they saw? Jordan with wings. The kid, I mean, I know how God moves. I'm excited. But for this kid, kid's like, no way. He's all, Mr. Park, look. I was like, what? Oh. So I told my friend, hey, we're supposed to pray for you. We felt led by the Spirit. We want to pray for you. He's actually a Christian too. He goes to the church garden in there. And so we told him, you need to bring your son, because one of the kids saw a father and a son, and they were supposed to pray for. So his son came over, and I told the high school kid, you pray for him. So he prayed for him, blessed him, encouraged him. You guys with me? We went around the mall. After that, we went around the mall. We went to, there was a sushi place. There was a movie theater. You know, there was, the wind was blowing. And there was a couple here. There was this truck. You know those trucks, like food trucks? But it was more like a clothing truck where they were selling clothes and things like that. And so we waited there. And then one of the kids got this word. He got a word where I felt like I'm supposed to pray for peace or something like that. I'm praying for peace. I was like, okay. And I was like, hey, Michael, what about those guys? And these guys had this business truck. They had, you know how that you set things outside the truck to sell. So they had all these clothes, right? They had all these clothes out, but the wind was blowing. Whoosh, and it was knocking everything down. I was like, Michael, why don't you go over there and ask them if they need prayer? And you know what? Why don't you pray for peace over the storm, over the wind? He's like, okay, I'm going to do this. He goes over there. Hey, guys, you know, we're just, you know, out here. And he's like, talking to them. And he's like, asking them, hey, can we just pray for you? And they say, yes. And he looks at me. He goes, they want prayer. What do I do? Right? Pray for them, right? And so he begins to, he gets on this little metal wall like this. I mean, no, I think it was like a brick wall. He stands up and lifts up a prayer. Lord, I pray for peace over this wind. I pray for whatever. Right? And they're like, man, thank you. They're like, thank you. We weren't done though. The last thing that we had to do was one of the kids brought a Bible. And he felt like, we're supposed to give this to somebody. We are supposed to give this Bible to somebody. And right before we were about to go eat, there's these two kids, young people here on the side. They're just sitting down. They're talking. And one of the things that they did, I was like, hey, I suggest, why don't you go talk to them? Okay? We went over there, and we just asked them, hey, how are you guys doing? How are things going? And they're like, okay, and are you going through anything or anything we could pray for? And one of there was a guy and a female. I asked them, do you guys go to church? Okay. And the girl said, we just started going. She started going back to church. The guy, he had just transitioned from Japan to over here, to the U.S. So he's going through a lot of transitions. And so we wanted to pray for him. And then I began to give words to the girl. And I told her, I believe you're called to step up. You're called to be a leader. And she's like, she looked at me and was like, whoa. I'm called to step up. And she was like, and I was asking her, does that make sense? Does it encourage you? And she's like, yeah, it encourages me. And then she was being encouraged. And then we went to the guy, okay? The guy, I mean, he didn't sit still. And I asked him, do you want prayer? He didn't sit still. He just got up. He says, yes. He said, pray for me. And we felt like, hey, I think we're supposed to give you this Bible. And he was looking at us going, wow. And we asked him, would you take it? He said, yeah, I'll take it. And so we prayed for him and all the transitions that he was going through. God bless them. It's stepping out of faith, but it's also stepping into what God is already doing around you. You guys with me? Can you say amen? You don't have to be the most gifted. These kids, they didn't know what they were doing. I didn't know what I was doing. Half the time. I said, let's go for it. The kids I took were blessed. The people who were ministered to were blessed. Thirdly is this. Let's go here. Let's keep going. You guys good? You guys okay? I had a lot. I'm going to try to finish up. We'll see. Okay, here we go. All right. Acts. Seeking out godly anointed people in a community. Seeking out a godly anointed people in a community. In Acts 2, 42, 43, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the prophets. By the prophets. Hang around godly anointed people. Hang around godly anointed people. In college, I had a 59-year pastor. He would take me, and I would learn. You know, he would come to our college campus and minister to the college kids and things like that. And he kind of blew me away. He would go around. We would be walking to the car or walking to a meeting place, and he would see someone sick, and right away he would go up to them and say, hey, can I pray for you? He would not hesitate. And that blew me away. I was like, whoa, no hesitation. He would just go for it. He would pray for people. They would fall in the anointing of God. The Spirit of God would come. Remember one time he prayed for this girl. She just fell, and she was just weeping. And I was like, whoa. How many of you guys have heard the word impartation? You guys with me? Impartation. Because there's people around you. So I would seek out godly people. There's certain things that I had to learn. I would learn from people like Chuck Smith. People like John Wimber, people like, let's say in history, people like George Mueller. If you know who this guy was, he was a man of faith, where he watched an orphanage, and when he didn't have any money or food, he would lift up a prayer to God. God would somehow provide, there would be food in the front door. There are certain things that when we seek and learn that we can pick up. Literally means there's a transfer. Remember, when someone is overflowing in God's glory, that glory, although, what? It overflows. It can also overflow to you and to me. Are you with me? Okay, are you with me? There are things that I can learn from this individual who's more prophetic. There's someone I can learn from this individual who's more apostolic. And I've read, God has put on my heart to just read biographies, learn from people. Because I was so busy, sometimes I couldn't go to a conference, but a lot of times I would watch a video. Sometimes I would read a book. Okay. When it came to healing, I learned things from Randy Clark, who's a healing evangelist. This guy has seen some crazy, crazy healings taking place. Cancer. All kinds of crazy stuff. So I read his book. I wanted to learn. I wanted to absorb. Bill Johnson from Reading. He is all about revival, and that's my heart. There's a lot of revival and healing taking place. So there's things that I'm picking up from him. There's a guy named Jim Gall. There's a prophetic side that I believe God has anointed me with, and I'm trying to learn everything from him. And taking what you have, for some of us, you need to continue to seek that out. And for some of us, you need to continue to pass that on to someone else. Are you with me? One of the other things that I saw happening in this church was I saw Dennis in a night suit. Okay, he was in his night suit. And what I saw is this campground. This campground. You know how in movies where you see like these knights and cavalry, they're doing what? They're practicing what? They're practicing shooting the archer. They're practicing sword fighting and all these things taking place. Now, I want you to think, what do you think is happening? I believe God here, he's training some of you. There's a training taking place. You're called to train up. You're called to train up a mighty generation. You're called to train up this generation to be bold. Church, are you hearing me? God desires this place to be a training ground. That's what I see. I saw Dennis on that horse. He gets off that horse. So, Dennis, if you're hearing me, okay, I see Dennis, one, he's worshiping, lifting his hands, worship. That's how he's going into the battle. That's how you're going into the battle. You with me? Seek out godly, anointed people. Let's go. We're going to move quickly. Fourthly is this. It is a willingness to suffer or risk. A willingness to suffer or risk until breakthrough comes. The word is what? Contend. Contend for more. Contend for more. Do you guys know Heidi Baker? How many of you guys have heard of Heidi Baker? Anyone? Okay, what is it about Heidi Baker? If you know this lady, her and her husband went to Mozambique, Africa, where they began to watch over about 80 orphanage kids. Okay, and they went through, her team went through a lot of stuff. Let me share a few things of some of the things that they went through. They went from 80 children, they planted a church, and after a year they grew from 80 to about 320. Many were filled with the Holy Spirit. At that time, there were a lot of difficulties that took place. There were witch doctors in that area that began to curse chants. There were bonfires. There were AK-47s. There were all kinds of stuff going on. Electricity was sporadic, all these things, to the point that there was a, what do you call that, when someone wanted to, what's that word? Guys, my mind's going. Someone wanted to kill her. Death threats. For $20. Someone wanted to kill her for $20. Someone set up something like that, a bounty, something like a bounty. Said if you would kill her for $20. That's what was going on. These were things that were taking place in that city, in that place. To the point they even lost the location that they were supposed to worship and carry out their ministry. But she did not give up. They were kicked out of that place. But she would end up in she had a home over there, this one location. But what's funny, she said, when she moved into this home, all the children followed her. Okay? Her place was not big enough to hold the children, but they would camp outside of her house because she had something. It was God. Okay? Today, her ministry is called Iris Global. It feeds over 10,000 children a day, as well as various members of many other communities, currently including 4,000 families in Malawi. Its network of churches also numbers more than what? 10,000, including some 2,000 churches among the Makau people of northern Mozambique. Did she give up? Did she give up? Can I ask you again, did she give up? How many of you guys heard of Todd White? You guys know who Todd White is? He's crazy. Okay? Let me see if I have it. I'm going to skip him. Todd White. Todd White, for 22 years, an atheist and a drug addict. Okay? Did you know when he began to pray for healing that he prayed for 1,000 people before he saw breakthrough? Are you with me? How many? 1,000. He would, for 3 months, pray for 9 to 12 people. He didn't see anything. And then finally, something just broke. And God is using him today as a healing evangelist around the world. He's traveling with Reinhold Bonnke. Okay? Crazy stuff. A willingness to suffer until you see breakthrough come. Lastly is this. I want to go here. And this one I really have to read for you. And I hope you guys get this. This is very important. Acts 4, 32 to 35 says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Okay? Experience the Savior's love again and again, receiving. And you got to get this, okay? Listen carefully. Our capacity to love depends on how much we have truly experienced God's love in our own lives. Okay, you with me? See, once again, a passion for God reflects in our passion for people, all kinds of people. Loving those who think differently from me, politically, spiritually, theologically, loving someone who has betrayed me, lied to me, hurt me, that's the level God calls us to. We must learn to love ourselves because it reflects on how we treat others. We must learn it's about God loving people through you. It's you overcoming the fear of man and overcoming offense of what they think about you. It's not about you. It's about you being available for God to use you, no matter what the response may be. See, the spirit of religion is about judgment, criticism, cynicism, lack of power. When we embrace God's love, we experience his love for ourselves. He gives us this capacity to love the unlovable and even our enemies. Are you with me so far? You guys good? Okay, some good stuff here. See, when we embrace God's love and experience his love for ourselves, he gives us his capacity. Okay, let me move on. The spirit of religion says, I am better than you because I don't do this. A lover of God does not compare himself with others and how much better I am than the next person, but it recognizes next to a holy, infinite, powerful God how sinful I am and how much I need him every day. Day. Can you say amen? It's making sense, yes or no? This is straight from heaven, I believe it. Not from me. Remember, I was sick. We are called to be vessels of love, being available for God to love people through us. Let him in. Let him love you. And when you experience his love, it just, guys, it's a natural outflow of who God is living inside of you. That it becomes easy to love someone who's betrayed you. You guys with me? Okay, think about that for a little bit. 12 o'clock. You guys in earlier, or is this a good time? All right, good time, okay? I'm not going to go over a lot. Let me go over a few stuff. I'm going to go through these quickly. Focus on what God's doing, not what the enemy's doing. Can you say amen? Focus on what God's doing, Not what the enemy is doing. Let me show you what he's doing around the world. Paul Young East Church, 800,000 people. He started out preaching to his dog and his family. No kidding. He started preaching to his dog and his family. It grew. Today it's about 800,000 people or more now. 24/7 prayer is taken a high priority in many places. Kansas City, 14 years of day and night prayer. Here we go. And move on with that one. In Argentina, several prisons in Argentina have established 24/7 prayer, 365 day prayer watches where the inmates pray for their families, communities, their country, fellow inmates, and the world. Inmates are converted and change their lifestyle. Breakthroughs are happening in the prisons. Okay. South Africa. In South Africa, there are over 5,000 houses of prayer that are committed to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I think God's saying something, you guys, yeah? That's the next level. In Indonesia, there's over 1,000. Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world, and over 1,000 prayer towers have been built that are dedicated to day and night prayer. Okay, let's move on. I want to go to China. Here we go, China. When I met with 7 of the top Chinese underground church leaders who have seen 25 million people come to the Lord through their ministry, they told me that 80% of the growth had come in the last 11 years. There's an explosion taking place. All right? Passion One Day. Have you guys has anyone been to one of their things? 40,000 college students. They're college students. Do you understand? Gathering together to worship God. And this year, what took place? I don't know if some of you guys went. What took place this year? What's called Awake in the Dawn, where in the Washington Mall, we are calling America to an unprecedented worship movement to the National Mall when we gather around the invisible God. The impossible becomes possible. He's realigning ministries and people. He's teaching us to celebrate one another's victories. He is orchestrating strategic shifts, realignment. We have seen all denominations come together to seek the Lord as one. Charismatic, non-charismatic, gentle and Jew, white and black, young and old. God's moving. We're not going to see that. You can. Job can email it to you, but simply this. Will you say yes to him? Will you say yes to him wherever you are placed, wherever you've been placed? It's just saying yes and then watching him move through you. Can you say amen? It is about him. Let's pray. Father, we just want to come. We pray for an overflow. We pray for an overflow. There's such an overflow of your glory. In Acts, Peter's shadow, people brought the sick and the demon-possessed so that Peter's shadow, okay, would touch them so that they could be healed. That's the overflow of God. It has nothing to do with Peter or the shadow. Has to do with the living spirit of God that lives inside of you and is overflowing. You see, the Apostle Paul, a handkerchief would touch and would heal the sick, anything that passed. That's the overflow of God's glory. And I believe God is saying, you, church, are called to be an overflowing church to this city. Can you say yes to that? Will you be willing to say yes to that? Lord, I want to be a part of that overflowing glory. If that is you, want you to stand, come before, and just receive prayer. So, Lord, I want to be part of that. I want to overflow in your glory, in your presence. Will you stand? Say, Lord, I want that. I want that, Lord. I want to be available. I want to say yes, Lord, this year. No more no, no more fear, but I just want to say yes, Lord.
Church, to the best of you, why don't we all rise as we sing this song together.